RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very, 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 very busy Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans.
So we're going to be busy today on a Friday?
Help. Help me. Is that how it goes, the little fly?
Oh, what's that from?
The Fly movie, you know.
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, wait, the Fly? With Jeff Goldblum?
The old school Fly movie, like the old one, way back in the day, like where the guy turns into a fly. And they're trying to save him, and he's outside in the garden, and you hear him from the little bush. Help me.
No, I don't remember this.
Okay.
But, okay.
Well, I could be crazy. But anyway, that's what I do sometimes when I need help. I'm like, help me. Anyway, okay. So, yes, we've got a ton to talk about today. I don't think that we're going to be able to cram it in to an hour, to be honest.
Okay.
And you have no idea any of the things that I'm going to say, so it's going to be really interesting.
Right. I had known nothing.
You know nothing. Right. Okay. I think that we should start with this report that came out yesterday from the Washington Post. It is a report that talks about the Hoover investigation. Its title is Justice Department Winds Down Clinton-Related Inquiry Once Championed by Trump.
This is from the Washington Post?
Yes, sir.
I saw that was kicking around last night, that he had come back with nothing very interesting.
Literally nothing. So we're going to go through a couple different scenarios, because my inbox flooded, like, legitimately with people that are very, very upset and concerned about this. And I will say this. Number one, I don't have any knowledge of whether or not this report is true, but I'm going to frame it in a way, and I'm sure you'll help, Frank, that will just make everybody just, first of all, the fudge rule. Good old Kyle, good old HNI John Miller, who was literally
36
at least. Okay. Nobody's talked about Hoover in God knows how long. It's been forever. The report in the Washington Post is written by Devlin Barrett of Dossier fame. And Matt Zapatosky, same thing. Spygate cover fame.
Yeah, okay. My question is why? And I know it's happened in the past, so it's not rhetorical. I actually want to know why. It's happened in the past where people will go out on a limb and they will be definitive about something that nobody really knows a lot about, and that we're still far off the mark away from actually getting something on. Case in point, Russia. I mean, how many reporters went out on a limb to President Trump's entire presidency in a coffin and bury it dead for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there comes the Mueller report and there is nothing in it. Nothing in it but some vague editing and some weird conjecture and everything else is just, well, that's all we have. So my question is, with the future, with the results of all of these investigations being a certainty that they will be public and it'll all be out there, why project nothingness? Why project
why even make a report about nothing?
Exactly, because it's not like, oh, well, Huber or anybody involved with the actual investigation is going to see how people are reporting on it and change what they found. It's not going to affect the impact and the actual result. So why even do you? You're not getting ahead of anything.
Right. Okay. If you remember back in May of 2019, William Barr did an interview, one of his first, where he said John Hoover is working on matters related to Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, and we hope to be able to bring those to fruition soon. That doesn't mean bring it to a close. Bringing things to fruition means something very different than bringing things to a close. Okay? That's number one. I don't think he would have said it, and he's very particular about that, those, his words, down to him even being very particular about the reason why he disagreed with Trump, that in a legal sense, what the coup plotters are doing was treason. Remember, we had that very nuanced discussion about the difference legally between treason and sedition?
Yes.
So he's very, very careful about what he says and how he's an attorney, for God's sakes. Okay? And the nation's most powerful at that now. So think about that, number one. Number two, we've gone over this ad nauseum, Frank. We've played the clips on the show. The whistleblowers that brought the information forward in that hearing with Meadows, etc. And then they were very unhappy because Huber had ignored them, had not, you know, responded to them and all that stuff, right? So they were frustrated about that, but there were FBI agents and investigators working the Clinton Foundation cases outside of Huber. This is what I want everyone to remember, and I think I'm going to do a piece on this today if I can steal five more hours and make the day 29 hours long. When recently, over the past week, there have been this like kind of, people have been all of a sudden talking about Andrew McCabe's, there was testimony released in, not testimony, but documents and stuff released in Andrew McCabe's civil suit against the government for wrongful termination. And in that stuff, which was actually filed months and months ago, in that stuff is a transcript of his, like, I guess you would call it a deposition under oath with the Office of Management, with the Office of Professional Responsibility, the OPR, who was eventually going to make the decision to terminate him because he had done such horrible things and lied so many times under oath and all that stuff. And in that deposition, which is like, I would say probably 180, 200 pages long, it says in there, he tells them that there were investigations running into the Clinton Foundation that never stopped, even through all of what it was happening with Trump, with President Trump, and the change in the Justice Department and all of that, out of four field offices of the FBI. Four. Not just one, four. And they were ongoing. So, A, that's not, unless there is some directive to take all of those and put them under the, that was a bad pop. Put them again, put them under, sorry, put them under the purview of Huber. And then Huber said, you know what? There's nothing here. Shut this down, which I couldn't believe would ever happen. There is malfeasance upon malfeasance at the Clinton Foundation that any normal human being that takes even, you know, they go after Trump's foundation for what their subcontractors do. And the Clinton Foundation. So anyway, all of this is to say that this is much broader than what the Washington Post is about to tell us. Now, Michael Caputo also called Huber to task, because he had reached out to him with information about Spygate. But people, you know, he was assigned to also assist Horowitz as per Sessions, but his written mandate that was released never mentioned anything about that. So I don't think that, and again, this is another thing that lends credence to the theory that I have, or even the proven theory that I've had for a long time, that Durham has been running the Spygate portion of this for way longer than we're being told. And we've talked about that, Frank. I'm talking a lot. I apologize.
I'm listening.
Okay, so we've talked about the transcript from 2018 in October where James Baker says that Durham is investigating the leaks with David Corn and all that stuff, which when he comes across something, you know, he's investigating the leaks of the dossier material. You think that's not, people are like, that's just leaks. That's not Spygate related. I'm like, wait, what? Of course it is. You don't just investigate a leak of the very foundation of the FISA warrant and not uncover Spygate information while you're doing it. And as a U.S. attorney, if you do, you don't just say, I'm not going to look into that. I'm not doing that right now. That's not how it works. So my thought is that, and that was during Sessions' tenure. I really think that Durham was appointed by Sessions, love him or hate him. I know people think he's an idiot, whatever. Sessions appointed John Durham, end of story. Hoover was appointed by Sessions to handle Clinton stuff, and we got it mixed up because we thought there was only one. Make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, and I can tell you, I know a lot of people thought that there was only one. I thought that it was all one big trash pile that was being sifted through at one point, too. And that's why every couple of months I will text somebody like you or any of our other friends and say, hey, can you guys remind me of all the different investigations that are going on right now? Who's in charge of what and what the scope is? I mean, because it's like you can see it. It's almost like something an asteroid breaking apart upon entering into the atmosphere. You just see it splintering and people taking control of little bits, and it gets confusing as hell. So I can see where the confusion could be created, where Washington Post articles like this could be written and some would believe it. But once again, I still don't understand
the reason
aside from keeping people, one group of people calm and another group of people discouraged. I don't see the reason for it, because it will be brought to light, and what people speculate on in the news prior to is not going to change what was found. So I don't know.
So a couple different things. If the story's right, which, you know, we're not on the inside of John Hoover's team, we have no idea, but I'm going to go through some reasons why this article is bull, in my opinion, because it's relying on a, like, its premise is false, and we'll go through that in a second. But and Brian Cates did a great thread on it. But I just want to say again, Caputo was really upset with Hoover because he sent a bunch of information over about Spygate stuff and stuff that he experienced during the campaign and got no response. But he wasn't handling that stuff. When Caputo went out to Durham, Durham acknowledged what he sent and wrote him back. There's another, you know, so we got all these articles about from like independent media and more like truthful media, I'd say, that said, oh, Hoover's not doing anything and blah, blah, blah. People just speculating wildly. And I've been saying this a lot over the past couple of days. Just everybody take a breath before you explode. There is a faction of mainstream and not mainstream. I keep saying that and I don't mean it. Legacy media and mainstream new media that is widely trusted that do nothing but sell doom to you people. That's all they do. And I just threaded this morning, it's interesting to me, they did it with the FISA report. Do you remember in the couple weeks leading up to FISA, all the reports we got saying he found nothing, there's nothing in there? Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was saying the entire time, just everybody take a breath, that we don't even have this thing. All these people are writing their stories based off the New York Times. Like, since
it's a great point. Especially now that we're so far in the game, I can understand, because I was just as on dancing on a knife's edge in 2017 as everybody else was, because there was very little. We had gut feelings. We knew the kind of people we were up against. We knew where the organic momentum in the country was, and we knew where it wasn't, and we knew what kind of an infrastructure and what kind of bureaucracy was already in place and what they were capable of. But aside from that, we didn't really know anything in 2017. It was a year of great revealing and trying to build a foundation for where this is going. In 2020, we got 3 years under our belt now, and here we have at least two or three investigations where you see the media reporting leading up to the conclusion of what was found was completely opposite.
Yeah.
So they were selling doom and certainty for the Russia investigation. We know that was complete nonsense. And then for the IG, FISA, and all that, it was the opposite. There's nothing in there. When it completely tore the FBI to shreds.
Yeah. The only thing that they effectively reported on that was Kleinsmith, and they made that as though that was the biggest thing that came out of this report. And that was not true. But
biggest thing that came out of the report, and that he was another low level guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened? The doom criers on our side of the fence in the more popular, like, arena in terms of what people read, started writing stories about how the Horowitz thing, he was always deep state. We told you so. How could you believe this stuff? And, you know, I was vocal at the time about people attacking me, like, hard. People were, like, telling me that, like, I had no credibility anymore. Everything I'd ever done was a waste. I should just, you know, close up shop. How dare you lie to everybody for years? That's not hyperbole. This is exactly what people said to me. And I find it interesting, Frank. I didn't get any apologies from those people. I don't know what happened to them. I don't understand. But the people that called out the doom and gloom didn't take any heat. I don't hear anyone saying how unbelievable they are and uncredible they are. It's interesting how that works.
Yeah.
Hmm? Anyway, this story is being picked up by those same people and used to thrive off of the fear of a populace who just want justice. It makes me sick to my stomach when people do this. It makes me sick because it's completely premature, first of all. Am I saying that the conclusion of Huber's investigation will produce fruit? I don't know for sure, but I'm also saying we don't know if it won't. So just stop it. I'm going to smack you on your hand. Not you. I would never smack you, Frank.
Well, listen, it's masochism.
Yeah.
We are very masochistic society. Well, we're very sadomasochistic society. There are people out there who love seeing other people twist and feel a sense of comfort fleeting, that stop being confident about this, stop being hopeful about this, and they like it. They just like, they want it, and at the same time, they like feeling, being in that hopeless arena where you can just be the person to tell everybody, calm down, nothing's gonna happen. I hate it, but this is how emotionally abused people actually, this is how they behave. This is, and it's pretty widespread, and it's part of the programming as far as the psychological warfare aspect of what we've been going through for a while is going on. And if you look at the media reporting, this topsy-turvy, flip-floppy media getting involved in creating news instead of reporting news, it should be the greatest showing of evidence for people out there that all of these internal conflicts inside of you, all of this lack of confidence inside of you, this was the source of it the whole time.
Yep.
I feel like looking at the media acting the way that they're doing and all their counterparts in the bureaucracy and in Congress and wherever else, I feel like all of them acting the way that they are so nakedly right now should be the greatest point in our history for us to have permission to actually hope again.
Yeah.
You know, we have permission to breathe again. These people, they're the ones who gave us this black pill mentality in the first place. We thought we would never be able to jump over these hurdles. And now the emperor has no clothes. So, I mean, at least take a breath.
Yep.
And stop continuing to execute the programming they put into you.
Amen. That's exactly what I'm saying. So let's get into the article, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, it says a Justice Department inquiry launched more than 2 years ago to mollify conservative clamoring for more investigations of Hillary Clinton. That's how they start. Has effectively ended with no tangible results, and current and former law enforcement officials say they never expected the effort to produce much of anything. That's not biased at all, right? Not at all. Not at all biased. John Huber, the U.S. attorney in Utah, was tapped in November 2017 by then Attorney General Jeff Sessions to look into concerns raised by Trump and his allies in Congress that the FBI had not fully pursued cases of possible corruption at the Clinton Foundation and during Clinton's time as Secretary of State when the government decided not to block the sale of Uranium One. As part of his review, he examined documents, conferred with federal law enforcement officials in Little Rock who were handling a meandering probe into the Clinton Foundation. People familiar with the matter said. Yeah, so meandering that they had plane loads of boxes of documents flying out of that office. So meandering. current and former officials said that Huber has largely finished, and found nothing wrong, nothing worth pursuing, though the assignment has not formally ended and no official notice has been sent to the Justice Department or to lawmakers, these people said. The effective conclusion with no criminal charges or other known impacts is likely to royal summon the GOP, who had hoped the prosecutor would vindicate their long-held suspicions about a political rival. Then it says, hold on, I'm finding it. Here we go. At the time, Sessions was facing persistent public and private criticism from Trump, who was upset over his recusal from the Russia probe. It says your recommendations should include whether any matters not currently under investigation warrant the opening of an investigation, whether any matters currently under investigation require further resources or further investigation, and whether any matters would merit the appointment of a special counsel. A spokeswoman for Huber referred questions to Justice Department where they declined to comment. And then they say here that basically what Huber was supposed to do. Here we go. Huber's work has been distinct from a number of sensitive investigations into politically fraught cases, including Justice Department IG Horowitz's probes of the FBI handling of the Trump campaign investigation and the FBI investigation into how Clinton used the private email server. Those two investigations resulted in lengthy reports documenting FBI missteps and failures. Huber's assignment was separate from the ongoing investigation overseen by Durham, and Justice Department officials believe the Connecticut U.S. attorney's work will be far more consequential. Durham is weighing whether to charge a former FBI lawyer, blah, 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 blah. Huber's tasking was nebulous from the start. Some people involved said he was said to be reviewing expressed surprise they were not contacted by the U.S. attorney and wondered privately what he was doing. That would be Caputo. I'm telling you right now. Some people involved in the matters he was said to be reviewing expressed surprise they were not contacted by the U.S. attorney and wondered privately what he was doing. Some in the Justice Department considered him more reviewer than investigator. He would get involved only if other cases were not being handled properly. That's not what a U.S. attorney does. There's a line in here where it says that he is basically looking to oversee the FBI, and he was looking to see if the FBI had handled the Uranium One investigation properly. That's not what a U.S. attorney does, ever, literally. So this article says nothing, literally nothing. It says nothing. It says that they have anonymous current and former officials who told them that a probe is largely complete with no results, but they can't. It hasn't been told to the DOJ yet. It hasn't been told to in Congress yet, and they can't get any confirmation from anybody that it's actually true. That's what this said. So you guys want to waste your weekend crying about it? By all means, be my guest.
It's largely done with nothing that came back.
Yeah. And I doubt, and Sessions had no comment either. I doubt very highly, and this is another angle of this, this would really not bode well for Sessions' Senate reelection campaign. If.
Well.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think he should have an easy time getting back into that seat out there.
There's two other people that are super MAGA running against him.
See, this is all part. I don't understand this. I seriously don't understand. I do know that there's not really good blood between he and the president. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it was ever really. At one time, I thought it was Kabuki theater. But why drag it out even to this point where now he's been out of the Justice Department for like 2 years or a year and a half, whatever the hell it was. Right after the midterms, he leaves. Why the hell not even endorse him?
There's got to be a reason.
It has to be to not even endorse him to go in there and take back another Senate seat from Doug Jones.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, there's something we don't know about it all. It's been that way for a long time. I have been off the Kabuki theater train for a while now. I just don't get it. But as far as this all goes with the press reporting what it has to report or what it feels it has to report – They have obviously been cut off from a lot of really good information for a long time on a various number of issues. They have been trying to be in the know. They've been trying to be on the cutting edge and be right there. And they've been cut off. I don't know. I think that baked into every investigation that is on the books right now with the people who have been appointed to lead it, I think that leak hunting and sealing of leaks and making sure that those who are involved in all this stuff are highly compartmentalized, I think that has been priority one for a long time now. You know, we don't talk about Ezra Cohen Watnick anymore.
No, I know.
And in fact, the next time that we talk to Lee Smith, I'd love to bring him up. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he jogged my memory on Ezra Cohen Watnick. I almost kicked myself for not bringing that up with Lee Smith.
I didn't even think about it. And we should, you know, we have a friend we can talk to about Ezra, who knows a lot about Ezra. You know who was the first person to really dig into Ezra?
For me, it was Thomas Wichter.
It was GRP.
GRP?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then for me, I was seeing the threads. I mean, this is
years ago.
2000. Yeah, we're talking years at this point. But I know the first place I saw it.
Yeah, he's important. GRP has done a lot of work into him, and you know, definitely
GRP. We talk to him every day, so yeah. Maybe
yep.
That'd be a great way to we can come up with some good questions.
Yeah. That's a great idea, actually. We should throw it in our little chat there.
And just for everybody out there, this is a very young, supposedly talented, picked and I think scouted by Michael Flynn.
Yep.
Talented intelligence kind of a guy, a leak hunter, if you will, who was removed from, I believe, the White House, and still the President Trump said it ordered him to go over to work alongside of Jeff Sessions at the Department of Justice to make sure that leaks were killed.
Yeah.
And that it's flushed out. And then all of a sudden we start seeing these things, these operations in place, like the Ali Watkins FISA application. We start seeing things get flushed out. And he was probably part of all that stuff.
Speaking of that, James Wolfe was mentioned in General Flynn's sentencing guidelines.
Really?
Yeah. Stupid. I'm still reading that. I'm not finished with it yet. It's 171 pages. But that was basically what I had to say on there. Did I expect it to go a half hour? I didn't. But it did. So that's what it is. It's important, I think. It weaves in many other stories. You know, many other topics and things. I should probably do a piece on it, like I said. Are you ready to move on to the next?
I'm following your lead today.
Okay. The next thing I wanted to talk about before we get into anything more in depth, which this is in depth enough, I did a series of videos on my channel talking about the lawsuit that Cheryl Atkinson had brought against the government for spying on her as a reporter during the Obama administration. Are you familiar with any of that story?
Yeah, where she woke up in the middle of the night and saw somebody filing through her computer.
Yeah, well, that was after the fact. But yeah, what basically quickly to review the case in like 5 seconds, she was working for CBS reporting on Fast and Furious. That there was forensic proof that they had hacked into her computer. It was government software, proprietary government tools. She hired a bunch of experts, former government, et cetera, to come in and look. She brought them to court. The problem she was having was that she was unable to identify the people who allegedly committed this crime by name. So the judge wouldn't let the case move forward because of that. However, the reason that she wasn't able to identify the people that committed the crime was because the government wouldn't produce the record she needed to uncover who they were. So it was basically like they couldn't get to discovery to be able to find out who the people were. And the government said the government fought against them going to discovery, obviously. They brought in Verizon. They brought in I read all the stuff. They went to appeal the suit because it was, they ruled against her. They went to appeal. I believe that it is still under appeal. I don't remember right now whether or not that failed too, but basically she started offering a reward of $50,000 to anybody that could come up with information to help identify who these people were that did this to her and her colleagues during the Obama administration. Here is some news on this from Cheryl.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl Atkinson here with a promised update to my fight to hold the government agents accountable for the intrusions into my computers. We have just filed a brand new complaint, which I hope satisfies one of the issues a judge had that we had not been able to name the actual names of the government agents involved in the intrusion. Of course, we argued we could not name the names because the government and courts would not permit us discovery to learn the names. But we did some additional detective work. We have five names to present to the court, names based on our information that were directly involved in the surveillance of my computers. One of them is Rod Rosenstein, then U.S. attorney in Baltimore, a former Department of Justice official. There are other names. You can go to CherylAtkinson.com to find out more about this case. We're able to continue it, thanks in large part to your support. It's an uphill battle because if the Department of Justice and courts do not want a case to go forward for whatever reason, there are, as you might say, six ways from Sunday to prevent it. But go to CherylAtkinson.com to find out more of the latest developments.
I read some of this complaint, Frank.
Okay.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Rod Rosenstein is in deep...
For real?
Whistleblowers came forward and said they were instructed by him to do this stuff. She's suing him now. Cheryl Atkinson. Not like
that was what year?
While he was U.S. attorney in Baltimore during the Obama administration, Fast and Furious. What year was it? What year? 2010. Oh,
he is so screwed.
It's Cheryl Atkinson. It's not like, you know, some former Secret Service agent that's looks like he's high on drugs. You know what I'm saying?
This is going to totally ruin his tuna fish sandwich today.
Are you being a wise ass?
No, I'm not being a wise ass. I think that he's going to eat. He's going to sit down alone in whatever cafeteria he's in today. He's going to sit down alone with a fruit cup and his tuna fish sandwich. It's not going to be made with mayonnaise. It's going to be made with olive oil, cracked pepper, and cut up baby carrots.
I thought you were going to say baby parts. I was about to...
No. Baby carrots, cracked pepper, and olive oil. That's what he's going to put in his tuna fish sandwich.
And tears.
And he's just going to sit there, and he's going to eat. And every bite is going to trigger a thought, a reverie. And he's going to rethink his whole life, and he's going to be worried.
I love you. That's a great recipe for tuna fish. I'm going to have to keep that one.
It actually is a good alternative to mayo. You mix up some tuna fish, olive oil. You have your salt, sea salt, cracked pepper, and you can cut up some celery and some baby carrots if you want. And it's really fantastic, actually.
I should have left him the mayo. Yeah.
I should have gave him the mayo. He should have had the mayo today then.
Yeah. Give him the mayo back.
Poor man's tuna fish.
You know, I wanted to cover today this thing with Gates, who voted on this this sort of war powers limiting of President Trump.
He
voted with the Democrats. What the? Sometimes he does shit that makes me really question where the hell he stands. I'm just going to bite my tongue.
Well, I mean, I can listen. I don't understand. I know what you mean. It makes no sense to me too. Matt Gaetz and the dissenters, especially at this last stage in the game or this late stage in the game. Perhaps I don't know. You saw the John Bolton retweet. I'm going to talk about that tonight on my show, actually, because I spent a lot of time going over the War Powers Act and why it's unconstitutional and why it's nonsense on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I got a lot of people commenting about how great that show was, by the way.
It's what is needed because you know what the president, I always say before anybody who starts wringing their hands over these airstrikes at this point, when we just got over, you know, Barack Obama with his thousands of airstrikes and nobody batted an eye over. You were talking about hundreds and hundreds of civilians dead because of Barack Obama. And then we get into this whole point here where everybody tries to all of a sudden become, you know, very hawkish over who is, you know, the Constitution and what is constitutional war and all that stuff. And it makes me. It really makes me cringe because it's so awful. Now, at this point, President Trump exists within the orgy. Okay, he is in the middle of it all, and however the hell he needs to navigate this thing and get the hell out, and also then leave the door open for future generations of Americans to make the case the War Powers Act needs to not only be repealed, but just ignored and get back to what is the supreme law on the land that has not been repealed or amended. And that is Article 1. I mean, the commander in chief is not the commander in chief unless there is a reason for him to actually command the army. Defense, standing orders to defend Americans or American ships or property or the country itself, that's one thing.
Just from a practical standpoint too, Frank, real quick. If Congress had to get involved in the way that they're proposing that they should get involved, we would have the weakest military in the world because everybody would know what the hell we were planning to do before we did it.
Well, yeah, and that's why I perhaps the retweet of John Bolton yesterday by the president, which was not really – it didn't get a lot of attention for the couple of – I pulled it aside after he tweeted it out, and by the time I went live last night, it was already a few hours old. I only had 26,000 likes. I don't think people realized, or at least at the time, people didn't realize how significant that tweet is because John Bolton is sitting there saying that the War Powers Act, which is – it's antithetical to the Constitution. It actually grants the presidency war-making abilities that it was never constitutionally designed to have. It's ridiculous, and it's what we've been operating under since the 1970s.
Yeah.
And for him to say that it needs to be repealed and for the president to say, I agree, that is very interesting to me because I'm thinking to myself, okay – well, we have the Ark of the Covenant is open in here. OK, it's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the Ark of the Covenant is opened and it's just everything is running amok and there's craziness all over the place and there's no going back. So what's Trump doing? Perhaps he's Indiana Jones and he's just closing his eyes, letting it kill off his enemies. And then hopefully maybe at the end of this, we can bottle these powers back up into their boxes, lock it away and throw it into the end of, throw it to the depths of the Mariana Trench, never to be opened up again. Who knows? But why anyone is telling the president at this point, like Matt Gaetz, to play clean with dirty fighters right now is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's like, do you want to be right or do you want to be smart? It always comes down to that right now. You're not playing with people who care about the rules or else none of this would be going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. It is no time for being, you know, principled in terms of this bullshit that's not going to pass anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. Not only that, you know, there's one thing that we're kind of overlooking here in terms of Bolton.
Oh, I don't care. I'm sure there's a lot of backhanded reasons why this guy who wants to bomb everyone is talking about the War Powers Act needing to be repealed and that the sole war-making ability in this country should be returned to the Congress, even though it was never taken from the Congress in the first place. This is all a really annoying schizophrenic act. You know, laws that are passed that are unconstitutional are null and void, just period. I that's why, you know, with all these unconstitutional overreaching federal laws, the biggest way to defeat them is for the individual states to just ignore them, you know. But it's hard to ignore laws like this these days.
You're missing my point. Keep going. But I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about in a second.
Well, yeah. Well, as far as John Bolton, I'm sure that there are underhanded. He's not saying this because he believes in American originalism and tradition. So whatever the hell he's saying, I don't. I'm glad that the president is using a little jujitsu to throw it on out there, to have a war hawk like him on the record saying we should neuter the imperial presidency. And it's a great thing, and I hope it happens very, very soon.
Impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
He just the other day made a statement about the fact that he will testify if the Senate asks him to after struggling with the House. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
So I look at this differently because the Democrats were all excited that John Bolton would be testifying in the Senate if he's asked to. The president retweeting him and him saying something supportive of what the president is saying kind of puts a knife through that narrative, no?
I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Does it make much sense otherwise?
Yeah. I guess you're right with that. Sure.
Anyway, all the other points you made, genius.
Well, it's the simplicity. See, here's the thing that we always talk about, Tracy, in different forms. When you look at what we're all struggling to do right now as American citizens, whether or not you are a house painter or a plumber or an artist or a professional athlete, whatever your calling to life, like everybody's calling is not politics, but whatever your calling is, it exists within this arena we call the United States of America. And there's a reason why we've been so successful in the past when there was less and less government intervention in mm-hmm. things, because people are really, really something when you leave them alone and allow them to go out there and pursue what they want with minimal interference. And especially when you have less and less riding on every decision by one solitary person, or unelected people and all these ridiculous agencies. But the thing here is, simplicity was the reason for this country. The simplicity was the reason this country was so good, because the simplicity of what our laws were about allowed the common man, the farmer, the bar owner, whatever the hell it is, the people who are not looking to go on out there and be high stakes players in some kind of a stock market or get into government or be, the economists or anything like that. It was allowing everybody to understand what's right, what's wrong, and what is needed to be preserved to allow us, the everyday people of this country, to just live our individual lives. We are not walking in the same direction. You're never going to get hundreds of millions of people to walk in the same direction, to want the same things, or to even give a shit about what's going on in far off lands, thousands of miles away. So to sit around and listen to War Powers Act and this and that, it's part of that illusion that gets people thinking, oh, politics is way too complex for me. Mm. You need to know all of these acts and you need to know all of these years and all this. It's like, well, no. The only question to ask is, was Article 1 of the Constitution ever amended? Was it ever amended?
Simple.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. No, it wasn't. So the only people on the planet that can declare war and deploy the United States military is the United States Congress. And we have not had a declaration of war since World War II.
Yeah.
Okay. The Korean War was a UN police keeping action.
I threaded on this yesterday saying basically the same thing that you're saying right now. I just do want to let you know, Frank, that your Wi-Fi or signal, you're sounding like a machine a little bit occasionally here on the...
Maybe it...
It's gone. You're gone. Are you gone? He's gone. All right, now that that's fixed, we're back. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I basically said the same stuff as you're saying, and it would not as smart, not as intelligently, of course, but...
Oh, stop.
No, I'm serious. This is your thing. Like, I'm not like you when it comes to this stuff. I said, basically, I'm going to read... I might as well just read it real quick before we go on to the next thing, which is important, and this show... I knew this show was going to fly, but I knew it. For the past 60 to 70 years, the president has directed our armed forces to war without congressional approval. The Democrats haven't uttered a peep. Now, all of a sudden, they're championing the Constitution to limit our president's ability to keep us safe or troops safe. And then I said, I brought up they assassinated the president of another country without letting Congress know. The audacity and gall of these people to even be remotely questioning President Trump's decision to go after Soleimani is ridiculous. They assassinated Gaddafi and then championed it and held his head around on a pike for weeks. All because he had a central bank of his own and gold-backed currency. But that's a whole different
thing. And primary water.
Well, yeah. Couldn't have that.
They got primary water out there. That's because, you know, one day, whenever the hell it might be, water is going to be as good as gold.
Couldn't have that, could we? Couldn't have an independent Middle Eastern country. Definitely not. Bad, bad, bad. Okay, moving on, Frank, moving on. I want to talk to you about Devin Nunes.
Okay.
He has been all over the place lately. He was with Sarah Carter on her podcast the other day. And they're talking in the podcast about an ongoing Republican-led in the House Intelligence Committee, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, into Michael Akeson, the IG of the intelligence community, that retroactively changed the rules so that the whistleblower leaker complaint could be accepted. After, you remember everyone called them out on it, then they went back and changed the rules and people could tell that they were changed on the website because they had print screens prior and archives prior, and remember? You could say no, because it was a little...
No, I don't.
Okay. There were rules changed about the requirements for a whistleblower complaint to the ICIG, the Intelligence Community Inspector General. The rules required it be firsthand information. People were researching all this when this complaint went forward with all the hearsay, and they found that the website had been changed to read that hearsay was acceptable.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I remember all this.
Okay. Now,
this is a big part of showing the flimsiness of the whole Ukraine thing.
Yes. Now, people have been talking about this for a long time now, but I've been saying this I've been saying this and I was worried about saying it out loud because I was worried if I was wrong, it would be a super duper irresponsible thing for me to do. But I said it anyway because my gut is just so nailed in on this point. They locked the transcript of this call away immediately, right? Mm-hmm. There was big questions out there about why did Donald Trump move this transcript to a server where no one could touch it? This is not allowed. This is unprecedented that he's doing this. You know what I mean? There was testimony from that little weasel Vindman who said he was trying to alter the transcript. The reporting that went into the report in the whistleblower complaint reflected something completely different than happened on the call. There is a lot of good reporting out there that says that Vindman leaked to the whistleblower, the leaker, the traitor, what was said on the call. So why would Vindman want to change the transcript after the fact and then suddenly realize it's locked away and he can't? And what happens? This happens. We're here with a transcript that doesn't reflect the original precipice of this entire nonsense because they couldn't get their hands on it to change it, probably in my speculative theory, to what Vindman told Charmella in the whistleblower. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think Vindman wanted to change the transcript to reflect what he had told Eric Charmella. Didn't think that they were wise to him. Thought he would have access to change what he needed to change. And then suddenly realized when it was too late and this was already underway that they weren't going to be able to do that. And they forged ahead anyway because they were in too deep at that point. That's what I think.
Well,
anyway.
Boo these boys.
So this is what Devin Nunes is talking about, an open investigation into Michael Akeson, the whistleblower, the ICIG, who we have documented on. He's mixed up in everything. He's mixed up in the email case. He's mixed up in the Mueller investigation. He's mixed up in FISA. I have information that I haven't been able to report yet that there are other people that have raised red flags about this person. There's a lot with this guy, and I want to go back to her podcast and share some of it with you here, because I was listening to it this morning and I was like, ooh, this is good. I will listen from here.
The Republicans have an active investigation into Atkinson.
Why can't... Okay, so the Republicans have an active investigation into Atkinson. I don't think people have heard that enough or heard it at all, actually. What is...
We've mentioned it, but I think people have just kind of ignored it because, of course, we don't have the subpoena power, so we can't bring Atkinson back in. But there's... But he's got serious questions to answer for, because I believe that he was either lied to Congress or he really needs to correct his statements. And he's refused to respond. Myself, Jim Jordan, and Kevin McCarthy sent a letter to him asking him for a very specific response. He gave us a typical IC response, which is to not answer the question. Well, you know, 3 years ago, that might have worked. It doesn't work with us anymore. So there is, I mean, he is under active investigation. I'm not going to go any farther than that because, you know, obviously he has a chance to come in and prove his innocence. But my guess is Schiff, Atkinson, they don't want that transcript out because it's very damaging.
Do you think we're going to get our hands on that transcript? Do you think it could be made public?
Being that it hasn't been made public yet, why would it not be? And nobody in the media is calling for it.
Now, before we talk about the substance there, nobody in the media is calling for it. I did a thread yesterday on just how important what everybody here is doing actually is. The media, the Fifth Estate, is meant to hold the government accountable, like legitimately. When you have a dark media, which is now I started calling them, that are an arm of a dark power intelligence community, they're like a branch of the intelligence community that's going after everything good and holy in the world. There needs to be vocal demands for the things that we need to see in the public that is filtered through the media. Otherwise, we don't get them, which is why we got the memo declassified. Remember?
Yes.
We all changed our handles to release the memo. I was the first one that did that.
Good for you.
I take credit for some things. I have to give a hat tip to my friend who shot me the idea. She'll know who she is. What we're doing is important. What all of us are doing is important. All of everybody listening to this, it's very important just to make that case. But what do you think about that, Frank?
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool right there to hear it. And that's why gosh, what a dream. What a dream. It will be such a great Thanksgiving this year if the presidency and the House are tightly secured in the hands of people who are not suicidal. Yeah. I don't endorse the Republican Party, but they're not completely suicidal. And all I'm looking for is time clock management. This slows things down a little bit. Oh man, to see them with some subpoena power and some people, some really good people like Devin Nunes and Jim Jordan with that kind of pull.
Power,
man.
Can you imagine what we'll uncover?
If
the Democrats are rendered powerless this next election and we have a majority and we broaden the majority in the Senate and we also take the House back in sweeping fashion, where it's not like three flaky House members that can be swayed over to the left to vote. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
What a 4 years we will have in this country with a President Trump who's empowered by that behind him.
And has no reelection worries on his mind. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to get reelected ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll have another midterm election to go through, but still, I think that I think that 2021 and 2022 will obviously be 180 degrees from what 2017 and 18 was like when he had that flimsy majority with all those flimsy characters in Congress and in the Senate.
Most of whom have resigned.
Exactly.
Seriously, resigned and left politics.
And that's what I'm saying. I know that we're at what, 53-47 with the with the Senate right now. But no matter who, I seriously think no matter who, as long as the and this is why we have to talk about the 17th Amendment again one day. I mean, when we were talking about that with Ned Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a 17th Amendment show with Chris Ann Hall soon to really drive this home. But either way, you know that whatever is going on in Alabama this year, you're talking about one more seat that should be easily taken away by whoever is the nominee down there, because number one, it's not a special election. There's not going to be any chance for the media to put all that attention on one state like they did with Roy Moore and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I really do think that a three-legged dog should be able to win that seat back. So there's going to be at least that.
Yeah, yes. Let's end with two lighthearted things, okay? Real quick. We got 4 minutes. Jake Tapper, they're really upset that they're not getting press briefings anymore, Frank.
Oh, I know.
Meanwhile, they have access to this president every single day, and he stands there for hours answering their questions. Why would you want to go through a press secretary when you have access to the man himself? Crickets. This is Jake Tapper. I hate this guy. I asked press secretary about this offer to give $175,000 to St. Jude if she holds a press briefing. Her response, if you have $200,000 to play with, why not just help children because it's a good thing to do? Donations to charity should never come with strings attached.
Yes, you're right.
I think that's a good point, wouldn't you?
I think so as well.
Next, you kind
are
of
there, are there any good sex scandals going on right now? Any? Anything we
yes,
can?
Yes, well, there's Weinstein.
Oh, that's no. Nothing like abusive, you know, vampiric stuff. I'm talking about, you know, just normal run of the mill human faux pas kind of stuff.
No, not that I know of. And, you know, no. To be honest, I had this whole thing on tap today to spend a good amount of chunk of the show going over this amazing. This is one of the best articles I've read from her, to be honest, in my opinion, from Corey's Diggs, who did the kind of like a summary of the Epstein photos. I wanted to go over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did that article last night. She called into my show.
Oh, did she? I didn't know.
It wasn't scheduled. I just told her, hey, I'm going to be doing a little bit on Epstein. And I started with that article. And then I went on to trace it all down to South Africa because she did another South African thing on that. That was nuts. But she ended up calling in for 5 minutes. It was great.
The saddest thing is that her reports are so detailed and so long, it is really hard for me to read them. Personally,
I know. Well, she knows it too. We were talking about that.
Okay. I've talked to her about it a couple times. You got to break these things up. You got to do it in, you know, being selfish about it because I'm like, otherwise I can't. I just can't. I can't do it. It's sad. It's sad that I can't. Sad because she does amazing work. Okay. So anyway, that was something I wanted to talk to you. But this is the last thing we'll end with. Okay.
Jussie Smollett.
Oh, is there something on the Jussie front?
Oh, hell yeah. You didn't see this? I think it was yesterday. Judge ordered Google to turn over Jussie's entire Google data history for the past year.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. No. It's not even just the Google data. I think it's telephone, texts,
no
everything.
Shit. He's screwed.
Oh, yeah. No. You know, just when you thought this guy was going to squeak away. It's a Chicago. The Chicago PD is all over it too. Like they're helping out. They're part of the federal investigation because they really are upset how burned they got.
Yep, they're angry.
So,
That's news to me. That's great. I know Sandman settled his lawsuit with CNN. We talked about that a little. I'm glad you told me that because I had no idea that happened. And it's really nice to see. It really is because I think this is going to tie into the letter that was sent to him. This is probably from that case the FBI opened that no one heard a peep about the way investigations are supposed to be run. There is a letter thing where he sent himself, I guess, a letter. It was mail threats with powder in them that cleared out the entire studio. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's probably what this is. But real quick, unless you have something else, I have, it was a seminar in Congress I almost don't believe that this actually happened. It was a meme warfare congressional hearing.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw this. I saw somebody make a meme out of the actual congressional hearing. When did this happen?
I think it was yesterday.
Wow. Well, listen, this it makes complete sense to me. I was wondering how the hell I missed it. So I have to go pick that up. Maybe I'll, but...
I'm going to put it in the show notes, but we're going to talk about it for a second. I'm going to play a clip. They use Carpe's meme in there. The meme with the Trump being president until the year 200,000. Because that's just very serious. A scholarly look at the traumatizing dark side of meme warfare. Congress needs to do something about these deep fakes and doctored images. Facebook.
Deepfakes.
Yeah, Facebook is failing us all. You want to listen to this guy? You want to listen
Paul,
to this guy?
And also hat tip to Paul Krugman.
Oh, yeah. That's a big sex scandal.
Yeah, there's a big sex scandal right there.
It appears as though hackers have planted child porn on my computer.
Don't worry. I'm getting to the bottom of it. The Times is looking into it. Oh, okay.
Dude.
You know, yeah.
He's either gotten a scammer that's called him. One of those scammers. I watch the scammers on YouTube all the time because there are people that play along with the scam and create like virtual machines for them to hack into. It's really funny. Or he really did download CP and he's got a big problem on his hands. One of the two. Anyway, here's what this guy says. You can't see the memes he's showing, but the first one he's talking about is Carpe. And the second one is a picture of... hold on. The second one is another meme I haven't seen, but it doesn't matter. Just let's listen.
Sometimes we can be programmed to act against our own self-interest. So I have some examples. If we can look at the first example, this is something from the internet. You look at this for a moment. Who here feels manipulated by this image? It's okay to say, yes, I do. The designer of this image is using his knowledge of how people read text in an image to make it feel like the image is controlling us, making us control how our eyes are following it and predicting where we're going to go next. Weird stuff. Let's look at another example. Again, you can definitely tell from the internet.
It's hold on. It's Michael Moore's face on a surfer. And it says Michael Moore sliding into the Ayatollah's DMs like, and because obviously, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he was trying to circumvent American diplomacy by sending his podcast to the Ayatollah.
Yes, precisely.
Dummy.
Let's listen to what this brilliant.
It looks like Ann Ramsey, the guy.
You see what I'm talking about?
What? Where?
Oh, I thought you were. Look, you mean Michael Moore?
Michael Moore looks like Andrew.
Yeah,
Ramsey.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm like, I don't know if that makes sense. Hold on.
Again, who feels like this image is manipulative? The image, the previous image was harmless, but this one hints at the darker power of dark patterns.
Oh, send
this is now
to me,
gone
please.
From weird stuff to scary stuff. Sometimes we can be
scary. You know that they're rebooting Saved by the Bell?
I wish they would just come up with some new ideas.
No. You have no clue. I say this because we're talking about scary stuff and talking about programming people's minds. You know what the basis of the new Saved by the Bell is?
I don't know.
We were talking about it last night. The lead role is the most popular girl in school is really a boy. It's a trans girl.
Oh, God.
Most popular girl in school, cheerleader, who's fierce, is feared and loved by everybody at the same time. This is the description. And that in this whole scenario here, Zach Morris became the governor of California. And but through his acts as governor, he closed down a lot of low-income schools, and now it has forced low-income schools to merge with lily white privileged schools like Bayside, which is now going to have their privilege checked. So you want to talk about
programming?
You want to talk about programming, and you want to talk about abuse, and you want to talk about, oh my God, this is unbelievable. You got to send me this. You got
to
send me this.
I sent it to you in the Skype chat.
Oh, yeah. This guy's going to be watching Saved by the Bell.
God, talk about programming. I don't even want to get started. You guys have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Frankie Bao on the drums and
Beans. Very busy show today that can be listened to every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will be back on Monday. Yes, we will. You have to say later.
Oh, later. See ya.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.